everybody, to the best podcast in the world with the best guest in the world. Today, we're going to have episode 2 of Coffee with Ranch. My name is Nick Tibuzek, and with me there is the only hybrid god in the world, Ranch Bashu.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Ranjit is always like, oh fuck, what the fuck is that guy talking about me here?
literally, I'm always thinking, what the fuck's up Nick going on about right now? I have no idea. But I'm just going to join in on it. Fuck it, let's start.
So I just called you the god of hybrid training, but that's not true because you're fucking weak.
I'm a weak ass hoe, man. I'm a weak ass hoe. I've got a lot of work to do, bro. I'm feeling feeble right now, man.
Yeah. I see that. And for everybody who's just listening and not watching, I see gray hairs on Ranjit's beard right here.
And I turned 30 this year, bro. What do you expect? You know how it is, man. Hey, but you did say also when it was your 30th birthday, you also saw one white hair, right? Or gray hair.
That was a gray hair right here on the left side of my head. And I saw that. Oh, man. I feel old.
Oh, man. This is the age we become a man.
Finally. I thought that
finally
turned 18.
Crazy, right?
Oh, fucking hell. But now there's so many years of sports now into this. What would you say? What is the thing? What let you turn into the hybrid thing coming away from the calisthenics side?
I think I just gave more of a I was doing a little bit of more stuff when I was doing calisthenics, but then kind of calisthenics took over my training at a certain time. But then I was also, the thing is, I was always trying to do some other stuff as well at the same time. I wasn't sticking to just calisthenics. So I did make the hybrid thing a little bit more well known for people that, although calisthenics is good, it's a small percentage of strength training, right? And then I made a mistake of giving my all to it, and at a certain time for a few years. And don't get me wrong, I got to a really good level, but at the end of the day, the point of hybrid was kind of like a philosophy that, yeah, you might be good at calisthenics, but lifting weights is always going to be, I don't know, it's always going to be the king, you know what I mean? Like lifting weights is always going to be the king. And it's just like adopting that into your methodology of whatever kind of style of calisthenics you do. I think a lot more people now are enjoying hybrid style of training. I think it's quite more well known. I don't think it's really hybrid. I think it's the way most people should have trained at the start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's just people becoming more aware of, right, it's not bad to do squats or deadlifts or lift weights while you do calisthenics. And why wouldn't you want to? You can really do everything. So it was that mindset of saying, you know, with most people saying body weight only, we don't need weights and all that. That's good in its own respect. But reality is that most people do calisthenics only in the field of strength are pretty much weak. Nothing beats pressing overhead and deadlifting and squatting, and if you want to bench and, you know, adding some weights with it, and you will feel probably a lot better lifting weights. So as an example, one of my clients, who's pretty much new to hybrid style, he's only been doing calisthenics for about a year, but he also said that in the UK scene of calisthenics, they do not like people lifting weights. So it's kind of one of them things. Even in the UK scene, it's like, although I'm not doing calisthenics, I still keep up to date with what's going on with the calisthenics stuff. And he was saying that it's very much frowned upon. It's not a good thing if you're like lifting weights and doing calisthenics. Like, they keep that kind of mindset still, you know?
Super interesting. Because from what I see in the German speaking area, loads of people do a lot more weight training now as it got a little bit cultivated. But I think that comes from, especially, let's call it the influencers in the German speaking area. A lot more people just do that because they're longer into it and they do it. So the younger people also see it and adapt to it. But What I always miss with most people is exactly what you said. There is more to strength training than just calisthenics. But on the other hand, I also viewed from that side, there is more to strength training than just moving weights. And that's another extremely important point to me. And it always has been, because for me, it was always like, you know, I was in the army. So carrying weight was pretty normal to me always. And I always had to be able to move my body as well. So both of these mindset things always influenced my personal style of training. So for me, it was always important to move weights, but to be able to move my body as well. So what I see from both sides of that is all the calisthenics guys who are completely into, we don't even use any weight. And then there's the other side of the classic strength fitness people, I don't know how to call them, who barely can do proper bodyweight training. And this starts with the easy stuff like push-ups and pull-ups in a technical good way. How do you see that?
I fully agree with you there. The thing is, right, the calisthenics scene, as an example, let's take an example of like CrossFitters, right? The calisthenics scene, the people who really do calisthenics, like you see these kind of videos on social media where there's like they get a video of like a CrossFitter doing like kipping pull-ups, right? And then they say this is how not to do pull-ups, and then they show their pull-ups. But I'm not taking the side of CrossFit or calisthenics in any kind of way. I'm just saying that even if you take a really strong athlete of CrossFit and you put him into a strength, I don't know, like something like a circuit where you have to do one movement at each time, right? And you take one of the best guys who just does strictly calisthenics. Well, in the field of strength, a CrossFitter is way better than most calisthenics athletes. I mean, the thing is with calisthenics, and don't get me wrong, I made many mistakes in calisthenics, right? If I could take it back, I would have done things a lot different. And that's what I teach most of my clients now. And whoever wants to really get into calisthenics, I teach them still that old principle of make sure you're doing things properly. But if I could take things back, is one of the things is like, I wouldn't have spent so much time just trying to work on, although I didn't do much skills, mostly calisthenics is skills. That's what most people don't understand. Like if you take a regular person and they're introduced to calisthenics, they're going to be really fascinated by like the handstand, the muscle up, things which are not, they are kind of like strength movement, but you've got so many other things involved in much like a balance, I don't know, technique, timing. There's loads of other things involved with those strength movements, example, right? But it kind of, one of the things is like, if you take a CrossFitter and if you have to do deadlift squats, in the general perspective of strength, CrossFit, and okay, maybe they do bad pull-ups and other things are quite bad, but their methodology, okay, of doing every exercise is good. Like at least they're trying to do every exercise. It doesn't mean they are great at it, or you don't have to be, but if you take a calisthenics person, mostly all they're really doing is pulling in that same variation, dipping always in the same variation, and just skills. So you're very limited in calisthenics. You are very limited. And I think if you're doing calisthenics for like 5 to 10 years, you're naturally going to go into weights and do stuff a little bit different. I don't think there's many people that, unless you talk about people like in New York and, you know, where calisthenics is still prevalent, which I think real calisthenics is, where they don't really train with a methodology, they just go crazy on the bar for a few hours. I think that still exists in some places. Apart from that, a lot of places now have adopted powerlifting style into calisthenics, right? Like 1 rep maxes and 3 rep maxes, and that still has its pros and cons. But in general, like, you do see a lot of calisthenics people still to this day not thinking on the terms of like, oh, weights is good and we should be mixing it with our calisthenics. You do see a lot of people still saying, weights is bad. And I think that's a really bad way to be at the start. But I think most people do learn over a long time that it isn't bad. right? So if you take, look, if you take a CrossFitter and you take a calisthenics, let's take one athlete from each field, like the best, let's say top five guys. If you think of the word strength, you don't really see pull-ups in there, do you? You don't really see muscle-ups and stuff. You don't. And that's what I learned after a while. It is a part of it, but what I mean is, like, having a broader variety of strength is way better. And you get to train so many more things and variations. And I think you look at it a little bit different. I mean, when you just kind of like put yourself into this little box of calisthenics, it's very dogmatic. And it's like, oh, you're not allowed to do anything else to be real calisthenics. And don't get me wrong, I did come from that era of calisthenics where, you know, that was a different time of calisthenics, but at least I made the mistakes not to like pass on to other people. I'm trying to tell people different. I wouldn't say, you know, when I'm training clients and people say, I want to just train body weight, I'm like, don't make the mistakes that I did. You know, you got time to really develop now. You want to be doing some weights as well as calisthenics.
I completely agree with that. As another thing that comes with that bigger problem of that is a lot of calisthenics athletes are also very afraid of gaining weight and also training legs because it will kill their statics. And from one perspective, I do understand that, as of course, the heavier your legs are, the heavier a lever gets. That's classic physics. I mean, I do get that. But as you know, as someone who's for a calisthenics guy, a pretty tall guy, and I'm a very heavy guy, for me, progression was always very slow. Always. As it's normal for a bigger and taller guy in that area. So I was always very patient with all the progressions that I had. And I never came to the idea I want to skip the leg part of training for the sake of skills. As for me, I was always patient enough because I always learned to be patient when it comes to that. I never had the thing of, yeah, I skip it to be faster in the other stuff. As I think that's one of the main problems. And I still think to the day to day, you still can make so much progress while doing squats and deadlifts, which is something I absolutely recommend to everybody to do. As in my opinion, it's extremely important to load the spine as a human. As that's something that just keeps you healthy for the rest of your life. You gotta do that. You gotta put weight on your body to make the bones stronger, to make the spine stronger. And yes, you can kill yourself with that when you do it in a shitty way, but you can also kill yourself when you do a planche in a shitty way and rip your biceps off like every one of the bigger guy did. I mean, look at Adam Raw, look at Little Beast, and all of them got injured with all that stuff. And everybody has their niggling pain things. So everybody's so scared of, I'm going to kill my back and my knees with that stuff. I'm not going to do that. And I think that's an excuse of actually growing up and getting an adult in training. It's a little bit harsh to say so, but that's my point of view. How do you view that point?
No, I fully agree with you, Nick. I think a lot of people are afraid because if you think about most people who start calisthenics, they do start because they're unconfident of walking in a gym. So sometimes maybe they find it better going to a park to train, or, you know, they have a community of people that want to train with them. So, you know, introducing stuff like legs, I mean, you're not really going to do legs unless someone brings a barbell to the park or something. But, you know, stepping foot in the gym for most people that do calisthenics is a let's say it's a sin, right? It's bad for them, right? It's not good for the look of calisthenics or something, right? But realistically, like, it's going to be a natural thing that happens, that even if you think you're not going to want to be putting what, it's kind of like the same thing. You're doing body weight dips, and in a few years or 1 year, you're putting weight on the dip belt to do dips. Like, it's a natural thing that adaptation is going to happen after a while, right? So it's just, it's one of them things, like, the calisthenic scene, I think, has gone more towards hybrid. If you think about also competitions, most competition, like, you won't see competitions now like they were. I think, you know, even freestyle is not as prevalent as it used to be. I think of the reps and sets, I think more of a one rep max, three rep max, or kind of, one rep max competitions are more, they're more prevalent now. So I think, it's a natural thing, because, like, the competitions now, you've got a back squat. I think, yeah, you've got a back squat, weighted muscle up, right? Most competitions is a weighted dip and a weighted pull up, I think. I think it's on something like that. So you can see, even in competitions, before it was like goblet squat, right? And now people are adding the back squat in. So that's really good to see. That's really good to see that in competitions it is more that. But then again, it kind of brings me back to, like, the beauty of calisthenics. I don't think many people, like I said it in my last time we spoke, I don't think many people really do of what I view as calisthenics, right? Where the way I was brought up doing calisthenics, the way I did calisthenics, I don't think many people really do that style anymore. I think that style was a lot more, obviously, there was no programming, right? There was no programming in that kind of training, but that was the beauty of it. That is what made calisthenics nice. Like, you could go to the park and you could train for a few hours. Not saying it was good for you, but there was a time that you could do that, right? And you could do, like, freestyle, you could do some weighted, you could do body weight, you could do statics. Like, that, I think that was the beauty of calisthenics. I think now, as an example, if I look on Instagram, all I can see now, and it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing sometimes. Like, I think the beauty of calisthenics is gone, because all you see now is, like, weighted dip 1RMs. And I think there's so much more in like, you know, there's a bar, like I said last time, there's a bar. Let's see how sick you are. It's kind of like when calisthenics was first going around, like 10 years ago, it was like extreme BMX or skateboarding. It was like a freestyle element of, like, how cool you was on the bar and stuff. Like, you could freestyle, you could do statics, as I was saying, you could do weighted. It was just like, here's a bar, show me how good you are. I think everything now is more, it's just about how much weight you can lift. And don't get me wrong, that has its pros and cons at the same time. That's got a lot of pros. But I think that the beauty of calisthenics really has gone. I think only a few places still only do it. Obviously, for myself, I used to do a lot of calisthenics as well. But you move on and you learn to do other stuff. But, you know, seeing people that do calisthenics now or think that's calisthenics, I just don't think that's calisthenics. From what I used to do as calisthenics, from the people that I used to train with and how we used to train, and, you know, when we used to compete, and if I'd go to another country, everyone would train pretty much similar and stuff like this. It was a different era of calisthenics. And now it's more, I guess even beginners, they just think about, like, I mean, 1 or 2 year, I just had a person email me and he was talking about he's training for 1 or 2 years. He wants this much squat. He wants this much deadlift. I'm like, dude, slow down. Like, what's your base level? Like, what are you currently doing? Like, what's your experience? Have you got any injuries? Like, people just want to, because they've seen so many of the influencers do like 100 kilo pull up and a 150 kilo dip. They think that this is pretty much normal. And what I want to get out there is, like, this is not normal. This is like, these are extreme level athletes, right? These are like top tier athletes. You have to live, breathe, eat, sleep, shit this game to even get to like 100 kilo, 120 kilo dip. You have to really be coached to a good degree and really listen and take into account what your coach says. And you have to, you can't just like think about doing that yourself in like 1 or 2 years. You have to see that. And most beginners that look at these extreme weights as an example, they don't look at it as an experience level. That guy has already been training 5 to 10 years, maybe, as an example, right? They might be training for 5, not like just 1 or 2 years. And the goals that people have sometimes, because like because calisthenics has changed, it's not no more like the goal is like, oh, I want to be able to achieve like 5 rounds of 15 to 20 clean pull-ups first. It's like the goal is I want to be able to do 75 kilo, 5 rounds of 5 pull-ups. And I'm like, dude, you've lost the plot. Like, this is extreme level. Just because it's more out there, it doesn't mean it doesn't. It's a very extreme level. It's not saying like most people can do that. You know, it's like one last thing, Nick. It's like, you remember like deadlifting 300 kilo was insane, you know, and now you see most top level powerlifters, or most powerlifters can deadlift 300, right? And now it's like 400 is the like new goal for most, or 350 or something. Like, take that as an example. It's like before it was like doing 10 like 5 rounds of 10, 15 pull-ups was like clean. That was like, wow, I'm inspired to be able to do that. But now it's like most people just see weight, because that's all you see on social media. You don't see the beauty of calisthenics anymore. Like, you will just see either two things: someone doing a heck of a lot of statics with no legs, right? You will see stick kids do just planche. And you can already see from that methodology, they're not trying to work to the next point. You know, doing legs and being able to do that isn't the next goal or something. Or you will see someone doing extreme weighted weighted pull-ups and dips. So you just get these two. There's no like, you don't see, and not that I'm a fan of it, you don't even see much freestyling anymore. Like, I remember there was a time that freestyling had taken over calisthenics. It was like jumping around on the bar, spinning, and I don't even see much of that. All I see now on Instagram, whether people I follow or my stories and whatever, it's like 85 kilo pull-ups, 120 kilo dips. Like, that's normal now. And I think that's great, but there is a certain time that stops. If you can't put it to the test, you have to go and compete. And this is what I always tell people. If you're going into these extreme levels, make sure you're competing. Don't just do it for the Instagram. Who really cares? Like, you might as well go to competition and prove your level, or, you know, see people that are training on that kind of level as well. People that are doing statics, you can see people doing 5 rounds of 1 minute statics, and that falls too much into the gymnastics style. So I think real calisthenics for me was always a bit of everything. A bit of everything was always fun. And you could even say that was a hybrid level of calisthenics. How many people do you still see now who can do, there's only probably a handful of people that you can see on there was probably only a handful of people now you can see that do statics and freestyle and can do a great, like a comfortable amount of weighted reps, right? And I think you don't see much of this anymore. Like, there's only probably 5 people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely get that. What I found super interesting is how many people underestimate this thing with especially when it comes to this like 120 kg dip and 85 kg pull up and stuff like that. How much time would it take you to get there? I mean, the top level athletes in the world are doing these numbers right now. And even though we have some people who, like top 5 people who are doing more than 120 kg in a dip or something. And yes, you see them winning the competitions. Yeah, they win the competitions for a reason, because they are the strongest, because they are doing this for years now, you know? And that's something a lot of people very much misunderstand here, that to get to that level, it took so much time to get there. Or that happens as well sometimes. They're just very, very gifted. Some people are just very gifted and they make that progress in just a very short amount of time. It happens that way too, but most of the people that I work with are not that gifted, and it takes a lot of time to get to the level where they would love to be at, because they see it on the social media. And I have the same experience like you. I always have to calm them down and tell them, oh, if you want to get to that level, we have to go for 5 years straight now. 5 years straight. It's not that you're going to get it as a present or something. It's just not falling down from the sky. You gotta work specialized for that thing right there. And as you said, if you really want to specialize on that, that's great. And then I would absolutely recommend to go to a competition. But because where's the point in specialization if you don't compete? I don't get that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That is what I meant about you know, a lot of people, which is in their own right. I mean, doing stuff for Instagram is great, but if you're already if you're specializing in like three things already, right, and you're really good at them, why don't you just compete instead of just doing it on Instagram and showing it nonstop on Instagram? You might as well just compete and get your name out there even more. I mean, if you look at the top five guys right now, I'm not sure who they are. I know a few of them, but because I've not kept up, I know like it's Baki, a few other guys, right? Even I don't think Zod does much anymore. I think he does full-time powerlifting, or he might come back to street lifting. I'm not sure. But if you look at the top five guys, them guys have been around. So they haven't actually been doing weighted calisthenics to an extreme for three or four years, I wouldn't say, because they've been training for so long. It's pretty much a new thing, right? Whereas if you look at the beginners, they think this is where they started, in terms of like they must have been doing weighted for a long time, so they jump on weighted. But the base level of strength is something you can't skip. You cannot skip that. That's something that you have to take into account, that if you see the top five guys, if you look at their Instagram page, you will see a journey of how they started to where they were. They were doing so many different things in calisthenics at certain times. But because the street lifting thing took over, now they're doing that, but they already have an amazing base of it, right? So let's just look at injury. They're most likely not going to get injured. They don't have to kill themselves training as hard as the newcomers that want to get into hybrid lifting or street lifting and are really attacking. They haven't really got much good experience, and they're attacking themselves to get to even half of this weight, and they're training three or four times as hard or as much, right? And then you think, well, these top five guys, they've been training for a long time. They've got years of experience. They know how to manage the fatigue management. They know how to take into account their programming. They know when to stop. They know if they're feeling, you know, a little bit tired. They know to deload. These are things you have to build in experience. So most newcomers, when they want to go into hybrid lifting or street lifting, whatever you call it now, for these competitions, they don't have as much as a base as these top five guys. So with having that base, there is so many pros you get. You're already 5 to 10 years ahead. With the new beginners, when they can only do, you know, 10 pull-ups, three rounds of 5 to 10 pull-ups, and they're already putting on the weight. I mean, I see guys doing these muscle ups and, you know, I see them doing body weight, and then they're saying, all right, I'm going to go to weight next month. And I'm thinking, dude, like this is not as easy as like those guys show you, because those guys have been in the game for 5 to 10 years. And the key is that, of course, street lifting, these competitions haven't even existed for 4 or 5 years, have they? I'd say maybe 3 years.
Not in that way. I think
not in that way. They've existed, but I remember first it was like 32 kilo max dips and stuff. Now it's adopted to like the heavier weights. So the only guys that are really going to win that are the guys who have had experience in all those competitions where they went to like those high rep competitions, weighted competitions. Now they're in this competition. They've built up so much more experience. So the new guys just want to be able to like do more than their body and their mind can really handle. And I don't think there's really much point of that. I think that is the beauty of it. The experience shows like when you see the top guys that are lifting like 140 to 170 dip, I think maybe 140 to 170, that's like extreme elite level, right? I say to people, like, you have to realize that this is like, you have to be, you're inches away from injury. You have to be perfection. You have to have mastered this. Like, you are a master in your own right. You have to be so like skilled, and you have to understand your body so well. Like, no one can just put 100, most people can't even put 70, 80 kilo, right? You got to think 140 to 170 kilo dip. You have to be a master at level, right? And you've got to think, like, they're inches away from injury. Like, that's how crucial the game is. Not that it's like they're going to get injured, but one mistake, you can get injured at these heavy weights. You have to know how to program. You know how you need to know a lot of stuff, but that's experience. Experience can only teach you that. You can't just say to a coach, right, I'm new to calisthenics, I want to go to this competition. It doesn't make sense. Like, you can build up to it in like, but you need a lot of experience. And it would probably help if you have a lot of experience yourself before even getting coached. Like, you've done calisthenics for a few years. Most people that do calisthenics, they you know, as an example, let's say you have a regular gym goer who is doing, you know, some heavy benching, and he's seen on Instagram this guy does 140 kilo dip. Most likely, of course, he has the confidence to just put on some weight. He's never even done a dip. They just put on a, you know, 80 to 100 kilo, and they try a dip, and you could tear something. It's a complete different movement pattern. There's so many things you're doing different to a bench or whatever, you know. So this, even a bit more advanced people do a different kind of training will do that. So it's prevalent. It's very prevalent that most people don't take into account experience is key. Like, that is what the top guys have, and that's why they're the best.
Absolutely get that. On the other hand, what I also always strongly recommend is for those who think they want to join a competition, I would always say, yeah, if you're already on a certain level, go in and do it for your first time. But please don't expect yourself to win it. That's the thing. I would love to see more people on a competition just to see if this is what you want to do and what you want to specialize on. And is this the community you want to be part of? You know, that's something people very much underestimate here. That the first thing you do is check it out. Do that, and then we will see. I see that with a lot of clients of mine. They say, yeah, I would love to do a competition. I'm like, yeah, we can do that. I'm definitely going to prepare you for a competition, as I'm pretty good at preparing people for a competition. But I never say, yeah, specialize yourself on that for the rest of your life without even knowing what's going on here, what this will take from you. You know, that's something a lot of people really don't get. I turned 30 as you, really old dogs.
Yeah.
You know how long I'm taking people to competitions? That's like 7 years now. I'm bringing people to competitions for 7 years. Do you know how many of them stayed for the 7 years? One.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say three. Yeah, three, maybe that's, three, yeah.
That's what it's...
That tells you all.
It's yeah. Dave. You know, you still know Dave. Dave goes beast mode, you know? And he's...
Yeah.
He's the one who did competitions in 2014.
I remember him. I remember him in Wetzlar.
Yeah.
He was a beast then. That was 2013.
He was, 2014, I think. That
14,
was,
sorry.
Years ago.
Years ago.
He's still
he was
in the world.
Endurance king. Like, he could just, I mean, he's one of them kind of guys. Like, the more he does, the more easier training is getting. So it's like he's like the final boss, you know. The more you attack him, he just doesn't die. He keeps getting stronger. You're like, oh god damn, someone help this guy, man. I mean, yeah, but no, 100%, Nick. I think another one is, like, did you see the competition, the UK competition that Lee Wade Turner held in the UK? Did you see? I don't remember what the competition was, but I know they had goblet squat with 32 or I think 20 or 30 kilo plus a vest. I know there was push-ups, weighted dips, muscle-ups. One of the things is, in that competition, as an example, is that the double swing muscle up, right? You see when they like move forward, move back, move forward and move back. That is the point. The point of that muscle up is that elite people will be able to double their reps with that. Because as an example, this is one thing that most people don't realize with muscle ups is like, when you look at those muscle ups that most people done, I'd say 99% of them people cheated on their muscle ups. Because that's a cheating in terms of there is no rule of cheating, right? But to make it easier for yourself, you can see it. Because once they hit that forward position, you know, when they swing and they don't get to that swing point and then do a muscle up, they swing to the point, they move back and then they do a muscle up. So it's kind of like they move around the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So that methodology was the first one I'd seen. Maybe the first one, I'm not sure, but doing that double swing muscle up as an example, that is like, you can just get away with so many reps with that. I don't class that as like, who am I to say? Because I don't even do muscle ups anymore, right? But I think I have a good enough experience doing them. I don't think that is classed as a strict muscle up. In my opinion, that is not a strict muscle up. To put that in, and nothing bad about the competition in general or whoever organized it. I'm just saying in general, that's the first time I've seen that. But if I was hosting a competition, I was preparing for this and choosing movements, I would never choose a double swing muscle up, because that means elite people can just double up their reps. I couldn't understand why that was in there.
You know what? Think of the time, how because in 2017, there was the first competition in the UK that was held by Lee. I think you remember that one.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It was in the O2 Arena. It was me, Solo, and Theo.
Yeah,
we was kind of judging it or something like this. Yeah,
I think he asked you to judge it.
That's right. Yeah. It was 2016. I think 2016. Yeah, 2016. 100%. Yeah, 2016.
And at that time, I think we already talked about exactly this muscle-up style, and we all agreed on, yeah, that's right now it's the best idea to do it so, especially when it comes to a lot of reps, because we know they're gonna completely hang out. And by the time now, like, I mean, today it's like nearly 4 years later, four years later.
Yeah.
We know, okay, it's not the best way. And that's also something super interesting, how much the sport grew, how much we've grown up with the sport, and how much more we know now about all these little small detail things. Because I remember how we talked about that and how much I hated this double swing thing, because it's so hard. On the other hand, we really have to say that, because you have not that bounce when you come back, you know?
Oh, no, that's what I mean. For elite level guys who can do muscle ups, this is a lot easier, because they can use that rotation when they're pulling back to start pulling up, right? So it's a give and take situation. For beginners, yeah, it's harder because you have to hang on the bar a lot more. You need that extra grip strength, right? Mm. But for elite guys who can do muscle ups all day, you're giving them the gold straight away, because a beginner is obviously going to utilize that swing back as he's swinging back to then muscle up, right? I don't know if you remember, there was also this time when muscle ups, they were doing the box muscle ups. Remember when there was like something in front where you couldn't go past that point? I think realistically, that is the hardest way to do muscle ups. But I think there's not many people that can do their muscle ups correctly, right? So therefore, you can't put them in competitions. You're only going to get the most elite guys being able to even do them. The point with the double swing muscle up is that you're going to get beginners be able to at least get a few reps out of it. But the point is the strictness of that muscle up. I don't think you can get strict on that muscle up. Is just, unless the athlete wants to be, but why would you? When you want to win, you'd use every advantage, right? By pulling back, I'm not sure if you know what I mean. Like when you pull forward, and you're swinging back, as you're swinging back, if you do a muscle up, it's so much easier for an elite level guy. You could go all day like that.
Yeah, but I would right? say there's a little difference on how tall you are. The taller you are, the more you have to swing forward.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, and that goes to show you is like most guys who are doing calisthenics, I'd say around roughly my height or a little bit taller, 5'7" to 5'9". Maybe you get odd 5'7" to about 5'9" or 10, maybe, right? What's you don't get. Pardon?
What's that in centimeters?
I'm not too sure. Let me check. But
17, something like that.
5'7" in 1 minute.
I think it is 170, something around that height.
Yeah, 170 exactly. 5'7". So I'm 5'7". I think that's a big reason why I was good at muscle ups. Look how short I am.
Yeah.
You know, so. You know, and that takes me to another point, a little bit off topic, but sometimes you have to work with what your body is designed for. You know, sometimes, you know, you do look at really tall guys who want to get into calisthenics. And the first thing I say to them, you can do it. It's just going to take you a little bit longer. It's just going to take you maybe a little bit longer. You know, it's the equivalent of someone trying to say, well, I want to learn front lever at like 6'3". It's not saying you can't do it. Those long levers ain't going to help you in this kind of field, right? You're better off training something which, you know, you're going to, I don't know, maybe have bigger strides or, I don't know, something, you know. So that just going to show you, like, short people, yeah, they do excel. If you look at most guys who do calisthenics, they are roughly my height or a little bit taller or shorter. You're looking at about 5'7 to 5'10. People above that, they got to work extra hard.
I can tell you that. You know, I'm 102 kg right now. I'm 1.86 meter big, tall.
Well, 6 foot. You must be 6 something, right? Yeah.
So I'm working on my front lever right now. And
yeah.
I know it will take me years.
Years.
And I'm good with that. That's completely okay. Because I'm doing this step away from this specialization into waist calisthenics, you know, I was very, really with a very wide base, you know that.
And very, very, very wide base. That's the best way to be.
And from there, I went into the specialization for the weighted calisthenics. And from there, I took myself out when this whole corona thing started. I was like, well, okay, time to review my own training again, and I'm still doing my deadlifts, I'm doing my squats and all that stuff. But for upper body, it's mostly really pure calisthenics stuff, like handstand push-ups, front lever pull-ups, and stuff like that. Completely raw calisthenics stuff, because that's where I lack the most, you know, when I see it from a complete level. And that's something a lot of people also don't, maybe they don't see it in my way, but I always look at where I'm just shit at. And what do I need to change that?
No, I think me and you have always had that, right? I think we understand you're only as strong as your weakest link. That is really, you know, we're always working our weaknesses. So I do get a lot of people always ask me still, like, oh, why don't you do weighted muscle ups and calisthenics? I'm like, to be honest, bro, I don't have much of a passion for it anymore. There was a time I had passion for it. That is obviously my first love of training was calisthenics. I loved calisthenics and I still do. I still do a bit of calisthenics in terms of like my pull ups and dips. And I try some muscle ups here and there, right? But there isn't that spark anymore, right? But at the end of the day, I also had got to a level where I thought, okay, I pretty much can't do anything more. This is as much as my body allows me to do. I'm pretty much happy with this level. Time to work on some proper weaknesses now. Mm-hmm. All right. So that is the thing. Like, once you're good at something, just like throw it away. Don't expect to be as good at it when you go back. Learn to be able to do at least 50% of it. Right. So like, I think I was one of the first people to do a 32 kilo muscle up on a straight bar clean. One of the first people at that time, right? and this is not even long ago, so I think a lot of people do it now, but I think I was one of the first people to do it. I think the only people that done it at this point were myself and Vadim Olenik. We were the...
In your weight class in Germany?
In my weight.
You know, just to tell you that, in your weight class, which is below 80, it comes from 72 or 73 to 80 would be your weight class. There's not a single one in the German-speaking area who can do a 32 kg.
Well, that's what I mean. I was 70 kilo when I'd done that, right? And I was younger. Training was different. There was different time of training. There was training around different people. I had different motivation. I had different goals. The beauty of training is that you have to learn to, like, get out of your comfort zone. If you're good at something, once you've kind of, yeah, there is a right to say it. I did master muscle ups. I can officially say I'm one of the only people that had mastered a straight bar muscle up. There's many people that can do muscle ups, but I don't think many people have mastered a muscle up. I think I've mastered the muscle up, and the thing is, I always knew what, like, once I'd done that 32 kilo muscle up, mind you, I didn't even train for it. I just hit it. It's about 6 or 7 years ago. So you can imagine how long before that I was training. I'd never touched a weighted muscle up after that. I'd given up. I'd stopped training my muscle ups. There was no point. So now I have people that I know, people who can do planches for like 30 seconds to a minute. And I just think, okay, you can do it, but you have to sometimes learn to let go of that and be able to just hold it for like 5 seconds now, but work on other stuff. Like, you still can do it, but you can't do as much of it. So at the moment, like, you will probably, I would struggle doing like five. I would just about be able to hit right now 5 rounds of 5 body weight muscle ups. That's, I'm okay with that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay. I've done my time with muscle-ups. I do it now just as a skill in terms of, like, oh, it's pretty cool. I can still do, like, 3 to 5 muscle-ups. But I have no love for doing that kind of stuff anymore. There is no, like, I don't have anything to do with it, right? So it's not a part of my identity when it comes to training. Yes, that was a part of my identity. Oh, yeah, I used to be able to do muscle-ups like this, like that. And I was a big advocate for clean muscle-ups. Yeah, right. So, but now, you know, it's changed. I'm still light compared to a lot of people, but I'm a lot heavier than where I was. So I'm not that's not my goal of training, but learning to let go of certain things, but knowing when to attack your weaknesses is the way most people should train. But you do not see that. Why? Social media. People want to show what they're really good at. How many people do they show where you fuck up one of your back squats or your deadlifts and you can't lift it, right? That's the point. Like, you're going to have fails and stuff in general and stuff. You're going to fail your reps and sets. Yeah, one day you feel like shit, you can't bother to train. This is going to happen. But I think the real training philosophy is, like, really definitely work identifying your weaknesses and working on them. That is a big thing. Like, most people, like, look at calisthenics, where we first started off with talking about today, is that calisthenics is one of them things where this whole new way of thinking has been adopted by thinking squats are bad, deadlifts are bad. If you're not doing body weight only, you're bad. That is a natural thing, what most people say. And it's going to be a natural thing which they get out of as well. They're all going to turn to it. It's quite bad to say, but it's kind of like veganism. You're going to have a little time of being vegan, but then you're always going to go back to meat. Yeah, there might be some vegans listening, but it was just don't take it to heart.
You know, the thing with that is a lot of people love, especially when it comes to beginning something, you really want to be a hardliner on something. And then over the time, you learn, okay, well, if I really want to be good at something, I probably have to implement something else, which just kills my hardlineriness here. And just for the sake of the bigger picture. And that's the thing here. Take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Is something that I would recommend for most people when it comes especially to training philosophies and stepping away from this very strict thinking of this is the way training has to look like. Like everybody's with this. For an example, as you said in the beginning with the CrossFit pull-ups, you know why they are doing the kipping muscle-ups? Because the rule in the CrossFit competition is straight arm, chin over the bar. If there is, do 20 pull-ups, straight arm and chin over the bar in the competition, and you have to do that faster than the other one next to you.
Yeah.
You try to make up a technique that gives you the chance to make this faster than the other one. And the kipping technique, there is a technique behind that, which is actually
100%, yeah.
I'm going to do that because I want to win the competition. And that's the thing. You have to view this from a bigger point of view. People in CrossFit are doing kipping pull-ups not for the sake of getting strong, but for the sake of winning a competition. And that's for
time.
And they still do strict pull-ups in their normal training.
Yeah.
And they also have to train this skill, you know? And that's something a lot of people misunderstand when it comes to that stuff. And on the other hand, it also teaches us the variety of how you can do things is so much bigger than just this one dimension of how people view things. You can do dips in so many ways. You can do pull-ups in so many ways. How many people are like, oh, don't do chin-ups. Pull-ups are so much better. No, it's just a different thing.
No, 100%. I mean, I follow this one guy on Instagram, and I think he's a firefighter. He's a MMA guy, but he also does really cool style of training. So when he's like doing calisthenics, he's very explosive. Like he'll do, you know, who's to say that's right or wrong? There is different philosophies, and each person holds of their own mind, right? But this guy does some really like explode. Of course, he's very explosive, man. Like he'll do ladder push-ups, you know, like with the ladder, but he'll do like plyometric jumping, but it works good for his fighting as well. He's very explosive, you know. He does like clapping, but his dips are really like explosive. Then he'll do like some strongman. He'll do like he'll walk backwards with a sled, but he'll hold an Atlas stone. He'll really grab the Atlas stone at the same time. Like his style is like, you don't see many people doing his style. His style is just so like different and cool. Like that's the point. Like I think when we spoke about, like, if you look at most beginners, they see the influencers. They do see the guys that are doing 50 kilo dips, 100 kilo dips and whatever, right? Like these big numbers. That is a specialization. That is a skill itself. You have to know how to put the, you know, learning how much the weight should hang from your ball sack is a skill itself, right? You want to put the belt on. There's a certain way to put the belt on. There's a, you know, you're right. That's a skill. There is so much more to training. It's like when people put themselves in the box. Yeah, that's great. If you want to specialize in going to competition, that's great. But that's not always going to last. You might get bored of that in 3 years and you might go to the next style of training. That is what training is about. You have to keep going to the next thing and keep learning, right? Go to and do, try different things. Yep. Some people can do the same thing every year. Like you get powerlifters that you were powerlifted from the age that they were 15 to the age that they're 50, right? Mm-hmm. They stick to powerlifting. They're great at it and that's what they love. So there is different, but then again, powerlifting, squat, bench, deadlift, they might do so much more sled work with it. They might do pull-ups. There's so many more things they're doing involved with that. It's not just like they're just doing squat, bench, deadlift 3 days, five times a week for three exercises of the same things every week. They're not doing that. They're doing so much more. It just doesn't look like it, right? So a big thing is like most beginners don't understand that there is so much more to do in physical training. Just change it up. I don't know, make some farmer's walks and walk for like, accumulate 5 to 10 minute walk with 100 kilo just for grip and just for overall strength. Just do that. And that's a training session itself. You know, there's so many different things to be doing. That's a big thing. I think that point brings me back to like calisthenics, that original calisthenics. That was the beauty of calisthenics. It was when I was training, there was no routine, there was no programming. You learned to do as much as you wanted to do, and then you come off and that's it, and you go home. All right. But the point is, like, there was different points of calisthenics. There was like freestyle, there was weighted reps and sets, there was body weight reps and sets, there was statics, and then you could combine them all as well at the same time. You could, that was a bit, I don't see that anymore. That era of calisthenics, in my opinion, was the beauty of calisthenics. I think that is gone. That is gone. I mean, you only see most people now make up these kind of moves or skills when they're doing statics. So as an example, when you see someone doing a planche nowadays, the new planche may be on fingers and then they drop down to their hands and then they have the dramatic music kicking, like the, you know, 300 Rise of a Spartan kicks in or something, you know, and it's just dramatic. And you think, okay, it's a fucking static, dude, chill out. It's just a hold. I could just hold a bodyweight squat against the wall and just do that for 5 minutes, and it's the same kind of thing, really. So there's so much more to train. I mean, statics, people do statics so much, and you think there's so much more to training. You're like, okay, you can do some statics, just do something else now, you know. So it's like, and then you get people who want to do one arm pull-ups, and I'm like, how much can you pull body weight? Like, if I put a weight on you, how much can you do actual pull-ups? And like 10 kilo. I'm like, bro, you're nowhere even near to even try to attempt one arm pull-ups. You're gonna rip your biceps. So people look at all the flashy moves, weighted dips, heavy, flashy. You don't know what it takes to do 140 kilo dip, right? They don't know what it takes to really do it. They think it's made for everyone. It's not. Unfortunately, it's not made for everyone. That level of extremity is not made for everyone. So beginners have to really, you know, you can specialize. You can specialize at certain times, like yourself, like you do. You're obviously not a beginner. You're an advanced elite level coach and athlete, but you have certain times of the year, right? I'm ready for competition. I need to specialize.
Yeah, that's it.
Most people specialize throughout their whole training. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, whether you're beginner or advanced, that's not a correct way to be. It's just by, you know, you could, as an example, you could do, like, let's imagine this guy who's doing deadlifts and he specializes in deadlifts. Yeah, he might specialize in deadlifts, but he might do loads of rack pulls one week. Then he might be doing deficits. They're like variations. He might use a trap bar. He might be doing farmer's walks. All right, he might be training different things at the same time in that skill. Mm-hmm. But most people, when they do weighted dips, it's just numbers. It's just, right, I've lifted 80 kilo last week for 5 rounds 5. I'm going to add on 2.5 kilo and go for the 5.5. Next week, I've done 82.5, right? And just, they think that is a methodology towards training. Most beginners. So you can even get advanced people who can lift heavy amounts of weight with a beginner's mindset in programming. That's the ones who get injured.
Yeah. The thing with that's where I wanted to go with that. Because the interesting part here is, what is the takeaway people can take from here? Is there is times in your training where you should specialize. Yes. As an example, when I started specializing myself on purely weighted calisthenics and just doing the four lifts, I think that was by the end of 2018, and I did it until 2020. So pretty much specializing in like 2 years or something. One and a half, something like that. And beforehand that, I did 6 years of a very wide variety of training. And the thing with that is, I had no coach. So for the first years of my training, and I would, if I look back into that, it is a two-sided sword. On the one hand, that's very good to have the freedom to learn a lot about yourself during that time. But on the other hand, I made so many mistakes during that time, I could have avoided, because it's not like you need to make mistakes to avoid them for the future, because there are some mistakes you just don't need to make. I think you can see that by yourself when you look back into that. Yeah, and you see it with clients as well. You know, I see so many clients of mine who are, after just a short time, so much better than me, so much stronger than me overall, especially when they start with a coach. That's super interesting. But the very important part here is to understand you have got to build a wide variety of strength, especially in the beginning, which gives you all the stuff in there. Be able to squat some weight, be able to deadlift some weight, be able to move your body, do some pull-ups, do some muscle-ups. A muscle-up is a very basic thing, in my opinion. Learn a bodyweight muscle-up. Learn a handstand. That's a very basic thing to me, you know? And from there on, you can say, okay, I want to specialize on maybe this or that thing. Let's learn a one-arm pull-up or something, because you already have a base of at least, I hate to say numbers, but at least half of your body weight in a pull-up or something like that, you know? That you can say, okay, I do have a proper wider base on things. I am able to do some farmer's work and stuff like that. And from there on, you can specialize, yes. But it doesn't have to say, I'm going to specialize on this for the rest of my life, because you will never do that, you know? Of course, I thought that in 2019, that I'm going to be the weighted calisthenics guy for the rest of my life. I'm not. And as an old dog in training now, nearly coming for 10 years of training, I can tell you that things like that change all the time. Like, your style of training will change every 3 to 4 years at least. Yes, but that doesn't mean you can't think in a very long-term way of training, as I want to be the strongest version, the best version of myself by the end of this fall, when I'm like 80 and I look back on myself and I say, I did the very best to get everything out of this. I was able to deadlift 300, doing a planche and all that stuff, you know? I was able to do all of that. And thinking of it in a long-term thing, I think that will help a lot of people, especially when they think of, okay, I'm right now starting a journey. For the next 5 years, I'm just here to build my base. Build this fucking base. I can't tell you how much I tell that to people. Build your base. Build the foundation. Understand the principles of training. How much this will take from you. How much are you willing to give into training? Because that's another thing. You're probably going to learn that now as you have your first child. You probably don't have that much time for training now. And that's also okay. And this is all such a bigger picture. I hope you get my point here.
No, 100%, bro. 100% get your point. I mean, since I had my boy as well, I think I deducted my training and I only trained four days a week. That's all I train, and it's probably only about 40 minutes to an hour. That's it. That's all it is. But I've learned, obviously, I've made so many mistakes in my time of training. And the same as you, I sometimes think if I had a coach when I was younger, I would have been way better. But then again, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I'm quite crazy. And if I had kept pushing myself, maybe I would have broken myself at the same time. So it's kind of good that I stayed a weakling as long as I did, right? The best thing about it is that, like, if you have that mindset where you kind of attack, you know, you don't doubt yourself when you're in that environment, when you train, you can break yourself because there's no stopping, right? So sometimes good thinking about, oh, I wish I had a coach. And then I think, mate, it's a good thing I didn't. For me personally, it was a good thing that I didn't, because I did make my own mistakes. And now I, same as you, see all my clients making unbelievable progress. Just by, they don't have to make the mistakes. Just listen to me. I've made all the mistakes.
Right.
That's why I've got the experience in coaching now, because I've made so many mistakes and I know what's right and wrong. So my clients just skip kind of years of without making mistakes, but they still have to learn the graph. They still have to understand that base level is everything. You have to have a massive foundation of strength. You have to also listen. If you're if you're on programming, a big mistake that you see so many people make, and because they get caught up in their, you know, they feel good and they go off program, and you think, dude, just listen. If you're gonna get coached, just do the set, do the things that I'm telling you. Yeah, if you feel good, just maybe one of the sets you can just, you know, push yourself a little bit. But then I've seen some people go completely off program. They do not look at the weight. They will just be like, okay, no, I'm going to do my own weight. And then they pay the price for it in a few months. They feel absolutely destroyed because they just keep pushing the weight. And I don't even know until they update me. I'm like, dude, what have you been doing all that time, right? So why have you been doing that? Building a foundation is great. Having a coach, if you can get a coach, that's a massive difference. You save many years. First of all, you're not going to get injured. If you listen to your coach, you probably won't get injured, most likely. They know how to, you know, manage your fatigue, how you're doing. Most beginners don't know how to do that. If they're having a 9-to-5 every day and they're doing hard work labor and they're trying to come home and break themselves in the gym, these are things into account that a coach should take, and that's what they prioritize. Not just by thinking, oh, the guy's a beginner, he should be able to squat 70 kilo German volume training straight away. The guy doesn't even know how to squat, as an example, right? So they'll have to learn technique. There's so many things to take into account. If you don't have a coach, you wouldn't think of these things. You would just think, right, I'm coming home from hard days worth of work, and I'm just going to go, I don't know what to warm up, and just to start squatting. And that's when people do really hurt themselves. So we've made them, you know, we didn't really make massive mistakes in terms of getting injured, but there's so many factors to take into account. That coaching is such a great thing that nowadays most people do have coaches. It's a great thing to have. A coach is a great thing to have. I have a few guys that are quite elite level. I think about 5 or 6 like elite level guys, what I would class as elite now, right? Just because, yeah, they might not be elite in numbers as just elite in numbers, but they learn, like they understand at the start when they started training, that same mindset. I love training. I've trained so much a day. They learned that if they don't feel comfortable in the day, they just take a day off. There's nothing wrong with it. Just take a day off. Doesn't matter. If you've had a hard day of work or something happened in your family, the point of training is to be able to adapt and be able to like not think of training. I teach all my clients the same thing that I spent years learning. Only think about your training when you're training. When you come out of the gym, just get on with life and what you have to do. Your time for training is that hour. Stick to it. Yeah, you might have some thoughts, but that person, the same basic beginner that I've trained so many of them in person, online, and whatever, they will train for an hour, they go home, they'll train again, and they can't stop thinking about training and nonstop. That's when you're in that phase of you think you're in your prime, but you're really in your prime when your mental capacity, like the way you think, is established as well as your physical, right? Like how much you can physically take and how much you can mentally, like you can prioritize things properly. You make so much more progress. You wouldn't even believe that. The beginners wouldn't even believe that, right? Until they actually do it. So I think another thing is most beginners are too serious. They're way too serious. You have to enjoy it sometimes as well, right? You have to sometimes because they see the weights and the heavy lifting, they think, that is the game. But you have to, you know, all those guys that you see that are elite level, at one time of the training, they were enjoying it. They were enjoying it. And they might still enjoy it, but in competition phases, it's not really enjoyment. You're competing, you're doing different stuff, right? But there was times that most people, the most elite guys that you see doing street lifting now, I know them guys and I've seen them get to that level they're at, and I remember they're training 5-6 years ago. They were enjoying. There's a different style, like you said. They trained 4 years of something. Next 4 years, they're going to the next thing. The next 4 years, they go maybe to the next thing, right? So it's just constant rotation. Like you got to keep moving on. Just got to keep moving on.
That's it. That's it. I love that. I love this conversation with you all the time. I think that's good to end it here, as we're. Having a very long episode right here. Guys, if you like to listen to more of these lovely conversations of us, just let us know in the comments or tag us in the stories. I would love to see that. Put it on your story. Take a screenshot, put it on your story. Let us know how you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to get in touch with Ranjit, I think you can catch him on Instagram, Ranjit Bachu. Is that right?
Don't contact me, guys. I want to be left alone.
Don't contact him.
No. So it's Ranjit Singh Bachu on Instagram. And it's just I've been on Instagram for a while. I don't really use it as much anymore for posting videos and stuff, more just for my clients. But yeah, feel free to look there and have a little check out what I do.
That's cool. All right. For everyone who likes this podcast, feel free to subscribe, share it, and listen to some more of the episodes. I think we're trying to bring you some more value here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you so much for listening. Ranjit, so much. Such a good time always to have with you these conversations. And thank you so much for being here. And I catch you probably later, as I actually expect everyone to say, we want him back.
That was a great talk with you, Nick, as usual. Thanks for having me on. And hopefully in the new year, I'll catch you again. We can have another discussion about training.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
See you later.